Happy New Year. Y'all excited about the new year? Y'all awake? Had to ask myself the same question. Hey, I'm so excited to be here this morning. If you've been here for the last two Sundays, you know that we're talking about new life in Christ. And this is so on my heart. And I want to share that with many of you in this room. May have not been here the last 2 weeks, and some of you have. And before you check out and go, I've already heard some of this, say, man, if I'm not practicing it yet, maybe that's why I need to hear it again, or I may need a refresher. I may not have absorbed all the material. So if you're really learning something new, it takes about 21 times to get it. You know what I'm saying? And so this morning, I've really felt impressed that we should take real practical application to what I believe the Lord has spoken to me for our church. So I believe the Lord has told us as a pastoral team, this is going to be the year of abundance. And if you were here Sunday night for our core meeting, you know that our temptation when we hear the word abundance is to interpret that in the flesh and go, man, we're going to get rich this year. And I'm telling you, that word rich is true, but it may not be as you suppose. God wants to make you rich in the qualities and characteristics of who he is in you. So yes, we are going to get rich this year, but I'm not sure it'll turn into dollars and cents because I'm not real sure God's so interested in that. See, we as men learn to measure our lives based on how much money we make, or how much influence we think we have, or how many people follow us, or what kind of title or prestige we have. And I believe God wants us to measure our life in a whole different way. I think he wants us to look into the scripture and dig out and say, what, after reading and honestly looking at this book, what matters most to God? I can tell you today, if you just start reading the Proverbs, you'll find out real quick that money is not God's goal for your life. He says, better a little in the house of the righteous than much in the house of the wicked. And so if you're honest this morning, sometimes we look at our culture, we look at people who are famous, who are rich, who have more than we do, and we can just get flat jealous of where they are and what they have. And like, sometimes I've done this, maybe none of you have, maybe this is just my cathartic moment to get the year started. But I've looked at other men, other people, even what you see on TV and powerful people in the earth and go, man, God, I'm a believer. I've given you everything. Why don't I have what they have? Anybody else done that? Am I the only one? Okay, Tyke has too. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Now there's a couple of you. And I think the rest of you are just going to admit it here in a minute. Because I think we tend to be comparing ourselves. That's the only way we know to measure ourselves, is to compare against something else. That's okay. That's a great skill. Compare yourself to the Word of God. Compare yourself to what God has called you to do. Don't compare yourself to other people, because you're made uniquely. You're made different. You're specifically designed by God to accomplish your purpose in the earth, which, yes, fits into the overall purpose of the kingdom of God, but nobody can do what you can do, Randall. Ain't nobody else in this room, Randall Campbell, come on. Ain't nobody else in this room, Howard Steffens, or Greg Brown, or Chase Perry, or Enrique Villa, ain't nobody else, you. And God wants you to grow into the full stature, it says in the book of Ephesians, into the full maturity of who you are in Christ. Not who you are compared to your neighbor. Not who you are in the American dream. Not who you are in a worldly scheme of evaluating and trying to figure out what's really important in this life. So on that note, if you've been here the last two Sundays, you know this last Sunday, if you'll pick up your card on your table there, I asked you guys, turn it over to the back where it says every morning when you wake up. It says we gave some practical, because here's what I think happens at church way too much, and we have tried very, very hard over the years to make practical application to the Word of God. In fact, the way we write our messages, we have a section in our messages called application, so that we'll always remember to help people make practical steps to actually not just hear, but do. Why? Because the book of James says, don't be hearers of the word only, be doers. He said, if you're just a hearer and walk away and don't do what you heard, you deceive yourself and you're not really following Christ. And so here's what I'm trying to do in the month of January. I'm trying to mobilize our whole church to actually interact with this new life in Christ, and trying to give you very practical tools, that simple things that you could do every morning and every night to really help kickstart your journey with the Lord this year. Because I believe God wants us to be full of the Holy Spirit fruit this year. The love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I don't know. There's nine of them. We'll read them in a minute. God wants us to be rich in the fruit of the Spirit. God wants us to overflow. And these are the characteristics of who He is. The Bible clearly says God is love. And I'm going to go through this again in just a minute to make sure you understand the logical progression to the conclusions that we're coming to. But if you'll just pray this prayer with me this morning, it says, surrender to the Holy Spirit, and then I'll read it and then we'll say it together. The prayer is this: Holy Spirit, I surrender to you today. Please do your work through me. I don't think anybody have a hard time agreeing with that prayer. If you do, you don't have to say it. Will you say it with me right now? Holy Spirit, I surrender to you today. Please do your work in and through me. Now, complete vulnerability and honesty. I wrote that prayer. And yesterday morning when I woke up, I couldn't remember what the prayer was I was supposed to pray. So I'll guarantee that you didn't remember it. That's how I know that this hasn't even sunk in on me yet. I'm still doing my normal routine. Yes, I pray every morning. The first thing that comes out of my mouth are prayers. It's like an automatic response. But I know that we're not quite there yet if the guy who wrote the message can't even remember what he told everybody to do. So maybe I'm just re-preaching it so I'll remember. But I guarantee you I'm going to do this every day this year. And so if you'll wake up every morning and you'll give yourself the opportunity to stop. Some of you are advanced in your quiet time studies. You get up and you read five chapters of the Bible and you pray for an hour and a half in the Spirit, and you are way ahead of me and most people. But for the normal guy in here, you struggle to know what to do to get a devotion or a quiet time or a prayer life going. And so I want to give us real practical, simple steps that help us really engage God and not just do religious activity. Okay? So, new life in Christ, our first big concept is that Jesus promised us abundant life. This is a promise in the Scripture, and we see this theme of new life all throughout. Even in the Old Testament, you see foreshadowing of the new, but specifically in the New Testament, you see that Christ came to put away the old and to help us step into the new, because our sins are wiped away, we're clean before God. And so 2 Corinthians gives us a real synopsis or a summation of that. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. Would you say gone? Now, I want to stop right there for a minute. If you're struggling with sin today, you might have a hard time believing that the old life is gone. If you're battling an addiction, if you're battling an anger problem, if you're battling laziness, if you're battling financial troubles that you seem to keep getting caught up in, if you're battling greed, if you're battling lust this morning, you might say, it's really nice for you to get up there and read the Bible and tell us that Jesus took away all of our sin, but the truth is, I'm really caught up in sin. Well, I'm going to tell you that's not the truth. That may be the facts. But the truth always supersedes the facts. The truth is, your old life is gone. If you're still acting out in your old life, that's because you don't really understand Jesus. And I'm not being mean or condescending by saying that. Any area of my life that I still want to act like the old man, the worldly man, I have to step up to the plate and admit, I don't really understand Jesus and what he's done for me in this area of my life. Now, if we could get that humble at our tables today and here in just a minute, if we could get that real and say, you know what, I'm still struggling with, even though I know the truth is it's gone, I need some help getting it gone in my head. Are y'all with me? Good. Thank you for answering back. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Now, this is somewhat a paradox. I am completely righteous and holy and blameless before God today. Otherwise, I couldn't have a convo with God. I couldn't have a conversation. I couldn't have an interaction with God, because no sin can stand in the presence of God. It will be consumed. So I know in the truth of who I am in my innards, I'm good with God, or I couldn't even talk to him. But I know sometimes I still struggle with sin, and it creates this paradox in me. But the Bible does not ignore the paradox. The Bible completely addresses the paradox. They say, this old way is called flesh, this new way is called spirit. And so we see that Jesus comes in the middle of the human mess, and he lives a perfect life, and he does not sin, and he dies upon the cross because the wages of sin is. And so who died for us? What's his name? Jesus. Who's the Alpha and the Omega? Jesus. Maybe one day y'all do that with me. Jesus is our King. Jesus is our Savior. He was sent by the Father to redeem mankind. He had to come and be one of us to save us from our own selves and our sin. And so he did that. And you're probably really familiar with the truth of the basics of the gospel. But before he completed that work, he prophesied, he spoke forward. He told them, this is what I'm here to do. I came, verse 10 of John 10, that they, that's us, may have life and have it abundantly. You know, we have a tagline on our church and on our bulletin and stuff. It says, Harvest Christian Fellowship, come for life. Some people go, you mean like if you say you're going to be a member, you mean you're never going to leave? You're going to be here forever? No, that's not what we're saying. If God moves you, God moves you. Otherwise, yes, you're here forever. But what it really means is come and experience new life. Come to this fellowship of believers and drink in the goodness of God. Let yourself be filled with the power of God. New life. Not just a little bit of new life. Abundant life. The word abundant means overflowing. More than enough. And so, again, if you're one of those men out there struggling today with something, you're saying, I need that more than enough because I feel like I'm really in a place of lack when it comes to me and God and doing the right thing. Well, you're in the right place at the right time because the Holy Spirit wants to pour out grace upon you today to get you over the hump so you can realize this new life. You can manifest this new life in your daily life as you walk out today. Here's what I believe and here's what I pray, that you're going to have an encounter with the living God that will change the way you think, that will change the way you feel, and will set you right on a course for the new life to be manifest in you, not just something you talk about and wish for. If we could humble ourselves today, we could all experience the power of the living God. John 10:10 in the Amplified Bible says it this way, I came that they may have and enjoy life. Have you ever heard the phrase grumpy old men? That's because it happens. And I'm not exactly sure why. Maybe because your joints hurt. And I'm not going to qualify myself as old yet. I'm older than I used to be, but I ain't old yet. You may not qualify yourself as old either, but there's a real phrase called grumpy old men. And I understand the older I get, where grump comes from. Pain, frustration, unrealized dreams, disappointment. Didn't get as much conjugal visits as I would like. Whatever it is, I'm angry. I'm frustrated. But really, it's not just grumpy old men. It's angry young men. I mean, young men are known for flashes of anger and passion. Why? Because we're so frustrated that we don't get what we want. But this here says the opposite is possible. In Christ, you could not only have life, but you could enjoy it. I have been amazed. I thought my dad, and God forgive me, and Dad, if you hear this, I love you. I thought my dad would be a grumpy old man because he was a pretty fierce young father and pretty intense middle-aged dad. And you know what? The dude has mellowed. I don't remember the last time I heard him yell about anything. That was pretty constant growing up. And I thought he would be a grumpy old man. He's one of the happiest old dudes I've ever seen. And if you're as old as my dad, I'm sorry, but my dad's old because he's my dad. If you're his age, you're probably young, but my dad is old. But I've been amazed that as he's aged, he's mellowed out. I've heard people say, well, you know, you mellow as you get older. I mean, that ain't gonna happen in my family. I never thought my dad would retire. I thought he would work every day and die out in the dirt on the farm. He doesn't even drive a tractor anymore. I don't know what happened. Something happened. And he's hanging out with my mom. They're on vacation right now. He's having a blast. He's enjoying the latter years of his life. And I look at that and go, man, I'm so happy for him. He's finally found joy in this life. I bet if you were to ask him, he wished he'd have found it when he was like more like my age, you know, maybe even younger. But, you know, I know his story, and I won't tell his story, but I know because of different circumstances, man, he got hard, and he just said hard work and diligence and a little bit of anger is going to get me a long way, and Jesus, you know. And that was kind of his philosophy, and I'm not putting him down for that. But I'm saying if Jesus promises life, and life that you could even enjoy? Why are we so pissed off? Oh, did I say that? Well, you say it to each other all the time. Excuse me, why are we struggling with anger issues? Is that how you're supposed to say it? Okay. And not only enjoy life, but have it in abundance. Here's the amplified version where it fully explains the word. To the full, till it overflows. Now, if we can be honest this morning, ask yourself, do I feel an overflow of the life of Christ coming out of me? Some of you would say yes. Some of you would say maybe. Some of you would say I hope so. And some of you would say no. So whichever category you're in, it's okay because God is present this morning to be restorative, redemptive, to transform you, to move you in a better direction. God is not surprised at where you are today. He didn't wake up in heaven this morning and go, oh my gosh, look at what Chase did yesterday. He knew what you did before you did it, bro. I don't know if Chase did anything yesterday or not, but The odds are he did. Okay, so I love you, man. I am today. He wants to meet us. He's not repelled by our mess ups. He's not angry with our failures. He wants to embrace us like a masculine, loving, strong father and say, come on, son, I've got great plans for your life. Come with me. Let me teach you my ways. So the question is, if this life is promised, How can we know if we're experiencing it? Or is it just something we walk into church and we feel good about and we talk about and maybe we get a warm fuzzy when we hear the worship music or when we talk, but then we go out there and it's dry or it's cold or it's indifferent? Life isn't supposed to be just felt when we're together. This thing ought to be overflowing in your daily life. Even the daily grind could be enjoyable. Like, work's not a curse. Work is a blessing. So we're talking about how can we know if we experience abundant life. I'm going to cruise through this and get us to an application point, and hopefully we'll have a great experience with Jesus before we leave. Romans 8 begins to give us some insight into how do we begin to know if we're walking in life. It says the mind is a very important thing. If you'll remember, the last series I did at Brave Hearts was called Above All Else, Guard Your Heart. And we talked about how the heart and the mind need to get into unity. And so your mind is a powerful thing. It is so amazingly powerful. All the great inventions that have come into mankind came through somebody's brilliant mind. I mean, we have central heating and air conditioning in this room today because somebody had a bright idea and God-given energy to play that out. Man, we have all kinds of great things that come through the mind. But, and so, as you know, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. You shouldn't waste your mind because it has incredible power. But you're not supposed to be mind alone. You're supposed to be mind and heart. Really, you're supposed to be heart and soul, heart and mind, spirit-led through the heart to influence the mind. But here's where we can begin to measure. What is your mind thinking about? Ask yourself this. What did you wake up thinking about this morning? That'll tell you where your mind is. The mindset on the flesh is death. Even though Jesus died to take death away, to give us life, it is clear here in Romans 8, wherever we set our mind is whether we're going to reap death or life today. I know if you've received Jesus, you have eternal life. When you die physically, you will go to heaven. I'm not discussing that. I'm talking about what are you experiencing as you go from meeting Jesus to the end of your life. You could reap death or you could reap life. The mindset on the flesh is death. But the mindset on the spirit is what? Life. So there's an easy contrast here. You can live in death today. You could live in life today. So we're not talking physical death here. We're talking some kind of negative reaping death consequences in your relationships, in your body even, in the way you live your life, in every facet of your life. You're in charge of your harvest. You're in charge of what crop you're raising out there. You raising a flesh child, you're raising a spirit child. You know, we even see foreshadowing of this with the father of our faith, Abraham. The son of the flesh was Ishmael. The son of the spirit was Isaac. You see, it's all throughout the Bible. What are you sowing to today? Because even though you met Jesus, you received the free gift of eternal life, you know theoretically and in truth you're righteous before God, you could still set your mind on death because it's up to you. God's not going to force you, turn you into a robot, and make you do godly things. So the mind is very important. In the New Century Version, the same passage says it this way: if people's thinking is controlled by the sinful self, the flesh, there is death. But if their thinking is controlled by the spirit, there's life and peace. So this new abundant life, we're going to start trying to measure it. Are we walking in it? Guys, it has to do with your thinking. You can begin to measure whether you're walking in abundant life or abundant death by what you think about. New thinking is possible. New feeling is possible. Any of you ever been down in the dumps and depressed maybe for a moment or a season of your life, and you know how terrible that feels, and then you've stepped out of it and you feel alive again. See, there's a major contrast. That's a death feeling, and then you got over the depression and you moved into feeling alive again. That's death and life being reaped in your emotions. See, if this doesn't become practical, then the Bible is just some kind of religious book that we read. We come to church and hear somebody talk about it, and we go back and just do what we know to do. Guys, you got to interact with this thing. You got to get in touch with Jesus at a deeper level. You got to pray simple prayers like, Holy Spirit, I surrender you today. Please do your work through me. You've got to step into something different. If you think you're going to grow deeper with God in 2019 by doing what you did in 2018, you're wrong. Oh, you may have done great in 2018, and that could be a building block for you to move forward with God and to grow upon it. But listen, that's old. This is new. What are you going to do today? Thinking always precedes acting. Yeah, you think it before you do it. I thought about saying pissed off three times before I said it a while ago, okay? I did it on purpose. I thought it, I did it. So spirit-led thoughts, which that probably wasn't a spirit-led thought. I should repent publicly, I'm sorry. Spirit-led thoughts should lead to spirit-led actions. Spirit-led thoughts should lead to spirit-led actions. And we know the book of Galatians tells us what spirit-led actions look like. Fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The nine fruits of the Spirit. Against such things there is no law. You can't find a law in any nation written against those nine things. You don't have to worry about getting in trouble with the law today if you're doing these things, I guarantee. That's what it means. It means there ain't nothing against it. This is so good, it's so rich, that if you're focused on these nine things, you don't have to worry about any negativity. You can focus in life. So you go, man, you're just fantasy guy, aren't you, Pastor Brad? You just live in fantasy. Don't you live in the real world? Yes. I have problems. I have frustrations. I live with people all day long. So yes. But I learned a long time ago, in my job, I'm responsible to, not for. Here's my job this morning. I'm responsible to tell you the truth. But how you respond, I ain't responsible for how you respond. Otherwise, I'd be depressed. Because I know 90% of what I preach doesn't get applied. Even in my own life. But I'm not going to be frustrated today. I'm responsible to do my part. You're responsible to do your part. What if we all just got happy? What if we all just got happy this year? Instead of being grumpy old men. or angry young men who are really practicing hard to be grumpy old men. How do we know if we're experiencing the new life? How do we measure it? It's easy. You measure the fruit of the Spirit in your life today. If I want to honestly evaluate whether I'm living or experiencing this abundant life that Jesus said I could have, look at the screen. I should be looking for ways to measure the fruit of the Spirit in my life. It says, I've come that you might have life, and then we get further understanding that the mind is a real pivotal point as to whether you're going to experience life or not. If your mind is set on the flesh, which is self-centered, the ways of the world, you're going to stay in a death cycle. But if your mind is set on the Spirit, you get life and peace. How do you know if your mind's set on the Spirit? You begin to see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You start to see these things coming out. You go, well, I don't know how to get there. Well, we're about to help you get there. We're about to help you get there. Get your hand out, please, gentlemen. It says daily assessment to help determine how much I'm expressing the fruit of the Spirit in my life. I'm going to tell you right now, this is a hard test. Oh, it's simple, right? You read it, you understand it intellectually, you know exactly what I'm talking about when I ask these questions. But to be honest with yourself as to whether you saw any of this going on in your life, that you're going to have to repent every night. I'm telling you. If you don't want to repent, if you don't want to be honest with yourself, wad this up and throw it in the trash. But if you want to grow, repentance is part of the process. You're going to have to face the fact that you were not patient yesterday. You weren't good. You might have been, you might have not. You got to answer honestly. So I'm asking everyone to answer these questions before you go to bed at night, and then pray the prayer that's on the back every night before you go to bed. The prayer would be this: Holy Spirit, work in my heart tonight as I sleep. Transform me so that the fruit of the Spirit can flow through me tomorrow. So abundant life is in the Spirit. It says the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit, that's when mind and spirit get in harmony, then life begins to naturally flow out of just normal old West Texas men who are believers in Christ. So, here's what I want to ask you to do this morning. I feel like it's so important that we take practical steps to try to get this abundant life flowing in ourselves. It's so important that we need to take time. Maybe you answer these questions at your table today and talk about yesterday and be honest. And whatever pops up as you start talking about it, let somebody pray over you. Figure out the one that you struggle with the most right now and lay it on the table and say, man, this fruit is not in my life, or this fruit is, I'm not doing real good here. Because if we don't ever get down to honest conversations with other people, I'm telling you, I can preach my guts out and change nothing. We have to apply. We have to take. So what's the overarching theme? God wants to give us abundant life this year. God wants to give us abundance in the Spirit this year. God wants to flow through us. He wants to totally transform your life, your marriage, your home, your children, your workplace, our city, our region. I believe if you get a few hundred men at Harvest Christian Fellowship flowing in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, goodness, and self-control, against such things there is no law, what would happen? What would happen? Your wife wouldn't recognize you. She's looking for this guy. She's hoping you'll be this guy. Come on, church. I pray for you and I'll leave you alone. I feel like I've been mean enough. I don't know if that was the fruit of the Spirit or not. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to be real. Let's not just talk about new life. Let's get out there and answer whether we're really doing this thing. Because there is doing, not just hearing, there's doing. God, I pray that you would interpret this message to our ears. I pray that you would interpret this message to everyone in this room and speak to them what you want them to hear. I just pray this morning, if there's anything I said that wasn't from you, they'd forget it. But the things that you said through me, everyone would remember it and apply it. And new life would be released in us in abundance this year. In Jesus' name, amen.